Welcome to the January 17th edition of Deadbeat Radio. I am the B-Plan.
And I am the Creepy Kentuckian. So what's going on?
Keeping warm.
That's right. It's frigid weather out here in eastern Kentucky, and I'm sure it is in central Kentucky as well, isn't it, Steve?
Yeah, it's pretty chilly out there.
I know last week we got negative, like, 4-degree weather, so
yeah,
that was fun.
It's not that bad, but it's still cold to be out there.
It is. We haven't got much snow yet, but who knows, maybe that's coming at some point.
Right. We're underneath a winter storm warning till tomorrow evening or something. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, this particular show is going to be an amalgamation, I suppose, of last week's show, which Steve, had some sort of family emergency. He couldn't participate in last week's show.
Oh, is that what we're calling that?
Well, I don't want to get, I mean, you know, I
don't
want
to
get personal.
You don't want to tell the truth?
I don't want to get personal. I mean, I figured that might embarrass you.
No, the truth was that Uncle Bill decided he wanted to show up, and so I got bumped.
No.
That's what the truth is.
That's not the truth, man. I was, believe it or not, folks, I'm feeling down. My voice is very scratchy. I was telling Steve before we started the show, I have a couple of different drinks. One is a Value Time purified drinking water bottle full of water. And the other is a coffee cup full of apple pie moonshine, which, to be honest with you, like, I posted a photo of it like a couple of weeks ago. Somebody got it for me for Christmas. And it is like, to say that's moonshine, that's a fucking joke. I mean, it, at the very least, it's like a mild, like a flavored whiskey is pretty much what it is. No, anybody that's had real moonshine would know that that's not, you know, potent. Like, real moonshine, it feels like you're drinking fucking fire. So, you know, this one's smooth. You can, I can
only a hillbilly knows what real moonshine tastes like.
Well, moonshine is hillbilly drink, boys. Okay.
It's a hillbilly Sprite.
Well, yeah, there are some people that drink it like Sprite, but in any event, Uncle Bill actually had a family emergency this week. He was supposed to join me on the phone calls, so Steve is filling in.
Yeah.
The B plan. We're going to be taking your phone calls. The biggest news story of the week we're going to be talking about here in a minute, but also a little bit later on after the phone calls, we are going to run down Steve's 2013 best and worst, I suppose, of the year. So that'll be fun.
It will be extremely, extremely fun. Plus, we do it on Dana and our show, too. So,
yeah. So you get like two times the value on Deadbeat.
WCW World Champ.
And you'll notice, too, that I've slightly updated the main page of Deadbeat, and you can check out all of the I've got the archive for all of the podcasts, the Dana and, you know, the Two Against podcast that you guys do, so you can check those out if anybody else wants to. That is,
if anybody else wants to.
Yeah, you see, you take everything as insult. I have to word it. Everyone's going to want to listen, so go there, doodle do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, with that being said, it's going to be an interesting show. We're going to be taking phone calls, like I said. We got some horror news to get to. We're kicking off 2014 with a little bit of news. There's not a whole lot of stuff going on right now. But the big thing, like, that just came out a couple of days ago about the Poltergeist remake. Steve, are you excited about that?
No, actually, I did not hear about that.
Well, they have announced an official date on February the 13th, 2015. The remake will be coming to theaters. Sam Rockwell, Rosemarie DeWitt, Jared Harris, and Jane Addams are in this remake. The story follows the Bowens this time as their home is terrorized and their youngest child goes missing when a supernatural force takes over their home. So,
see.
Famed filmmaker Gil Keenan is directing from a script by the legendary David Lindsay, Sam Raimi and Rob Tappert are producing via their Ghost House Pictures. Banner with Roy Lee. Nathan Kahan is executive producer. And yeah, thanks to Shock Till You Drop for that bit of news. Ryan Rotten keeping it brutal in his extra small t-shirts and his torn up jeans. Appreciate that, Ryan.
Hey, cut him some slack, man.
Well,
he could be yet. He's better than that polyester guy.
Who's polyester guy? Clue me in a little bit there.
His name's Cotton, so there's I'm making a fun about his name.
Oh.
Play along.
I'm playing along, dude.
Yeah.
The Purge too, though. Have you got any news to talk to? You want me to fucking go on? Talk about news.
Let me see here. No, you go ahead.
Oh, I appreciate that, dude. The Purge 2.
Electric Boogaloo.
About that, Steve. Film stars Zach Guilford and producer Brad Fuller, which we'll be talking about him a little bit later.
Brad Fuller,
have spoken about the project this past week. Like the first film, this story is set in near future America. Ooh. on the one night of the year when all crime is legal. While the first film was essentially a home invasion tale, this one will take it to the streets.
Take it to the streets.
Take it to the limit. He told our good friends at Crave Online.
Hell yeah.
It's not a home invasion movie. This is, you're out of on the streets with people purging and a group of people who get stuck in the middle of it and have to get from point A to point B. So this is, yeah, they're flipping over on you. Okay.
Well, get this about Purge sequel. Purge 2 wants you in the movie, dude.
I can sign up to
get a sweepstakes to see if you can be in the movie.
I wonder if I won if they'd let me wear a Dead Pit shirt in a movie.
I don't know.
That'd be neat.
But details are at shocktillyoudrop.com.
I'll edit that out. I don't want don't go to that website. You'll be supporting that guy into purchasing more, you know, extra small retro T-shirts from Gadzooks.
What's wrong with you, man?
I don't like that guy. I'm sorry.
Well, a lot of people don't like you.
Well, good. Good. I'm the man. I am fine being the man that you love to hate.
Good. Yeah.
Okay, it's time. It's time to fucking talk about Brad Fuller.
Brad Fuller?
We'll talk more about Brad.
Great. Check out the big brand on Brad, though.
First, the first thing up is Nightmare on Elm Street remake sequel. Steve,
yes.
Do you think this will happen?
I hope not, because what else can they do?
Brad Fuller says that despite Platinum Dunes' reboot of Nightmare on Elm Street being the company's highest grossing film worldwide, nothing is moving on the sequel.
Wow.
He puts the reason down to rights holders, New Line. He says, I'd love to do another one. That's up to New Line, and if they want to do it, they will. New Line had such a huge hit with The Conjuring, and it feels like New Line might be moving away from the kind of horror with lots of blood and more towards what The Conjuring was. At least that's what I've heard.
Well, also, speaking of The Conjuring, they actually have, the spinoff has been announced that it's moving forward, Annabelle, about the possessed doll. It will be terrorizing a group of 20-somethings. So, it may not be a theatrical release, maybe it's be a direct DVD Blu-ray.
Yeah, which is kind of surprising since the, you know, the Conjuring made so much money. You know, like our good buddy Brad was saying. I mean,
I like Brad.
Yeah. But I mean, at the same time, like, I don't know how you can really make a feature length film about something like that. It'll be interesting to see, I guess. I mean, nobody, like, there's been a lot of talk about, like, who were the people. And a lot of people are really questioning the authenticity of the story, because it's supposed to have been a true story, But no names were ever really released about who these people were that had these experiences with Annabelle or anything, so.
Well, there's always been a lot of suspicion about the Warrens in general. Some of the skeptics and stuff that I've read, it's like, hey, they just make it all up to keep the money coming in for them. But
that's true.
You would think it, someone that old would just faith, hey, we were a bunch of fakers, but I don't know. Maybe it's true. Well, maybe some of it's true.
Now, I mean, goddamn, she's like 90 years old or something. What's the point of really even saying anything now?
Maybe
her kids can make money off of them. I mean, she could die at any time, but she's got leaving a legacy of lies for her children, possibly.
Yeah, that's the name of your unauthorized biography, is Legacy of Lies.
I have never told a lie. I'm too legit.
Legacy of Hate.
Look, Steve, there's no sense in you talking about me like that. Look, I've done and put your picture on the main page of Dead Pit, and you're being mean as ever to me. I've also, you've got your entire archive of Two Against podcast up there. I mean, I'm putting you over, Steve. You can at least be nice.
All right, I'll try. I stopped drinking Haterade earlier, so.
Okay, the big story of the week, I guess, or the last couple of weeks, is about the new Friday the 13th film,
which is
supposed to be coming out, and I'm sure people want to talk about that, like in the call-ins and stuff. It's going to be coming out next year, I think, sometime next year.
It's supposed to come out on Friday the 13th, 2015, like, is it September or something like that? I don't know when the next one is.
Paramount
2015, sorry.
Paramount and Platinum Dunes are considering a found footage format, which we've talked about before, in the next movie. And they're, one of the producers, Brad Fuller, who we've talked about quite a bit on this show, who's, goddamn, if you go on his IMDb page, nobody has produced as much fucking bullshit as him, like shitty fucking horrible movies.
I don't like what you're talking about, Brad.
I don't care what you like. Brad appeared on you at the Television Critics Association press tour this past week, where he was asked by Crave Online if actor Derek Mears, who played Jason in the 2009 reboot, will return in the next film. His answer was surprising. He says, "I don't know, because I don't know if we're going to have Jason. I don't know which Jason we're going to have. I can tell you this. I love Derek Mears. I love working with him, and he's a dream. So we'd be lucky to have him."
How do you spell his name?
Derek Mears.
No. Brad Fuller.
What do you mean?
How do you spell his last name? F-U-L-L-E-R?
Yeah.
Where
are you going?
Well, am I going with this?
Yeah.
I just looking, like you said.
Look him up, motherfucker. Look him up.
I'm looking at him.
He says,
he was a part of, he did the Hitcher remake, The Unborn, Texas Chainsaw Massacre, The Beginning. I mean, all those are, pretty classical movies. He also did Virtual Girl 2, Virtual Vegas.
Right.
So, indeed. I mean, indeed. That's a pretty big movie.
Indeed. Anyway, continuing on here. He says, "I think we're going to go for Jason Voorhees. We would go for Derek rather than Kane Hodder. He's our guy."
He's our guy.
And there's people already calling, by the way, here on Skype, which, we're not going to be answering phone calls right now. I know nobody can hear this, but fuck you.
Ban all those calls that are coming in now. Do not answer any of them.
Yeah, I'm going to decline that one.
Decline phone numbers.
Says, "Now it's a matter of getting a script that we all love, that we feel we can execute in a great way. That's always the battle, isn't it?" Yeah, that was a hell of a battle when you fucking did the Nightmare on Elm Street remake and The Hitcher and all that shit.
It worked out.
Fuller confirms that they're looking at a found footage format for the next film, but he says, "I can't tell you definitively that that's what the movie is. I'm well acquainted with some very loud members of the audience who hate found footage films, and I understand that. I think for us it's more about what the story is and what's the best way to tell it. Until we figure out exactly what the story is for the next Friday the 13th movie, I can't tell you what it's going to be. So, you know, it's not like he's confirming that Jason's not going to be in it, but to even throw that idea out there, that's fucking dumb. Like, that's so stupid. Because you've got, you know, it's not like when the series started, nobody knew what it was. It could have been anything. It could have been a surprise, which worked. But the series, you've got 11 other movies, or 11 or 12 other movies, that feature Jason as the killer. So, if they go that route, I think that everybody's going to hate that fucking shit. Even if it ends up being a decent movie. Just the fact that Jason isn't in it, I mean, that's just dumb.
Yeah, they haven't learned from Friday 5 and Friday, you know, Jason Goes to Hell. They haven't learned about in those movies when Jason wasn't in it.
They're fucking dumb, Steve.
No, I mean, yeah, that's stupid. If they're not going to have Jason in it, then word of mouth is going to come out and it's going to bomb.
I agree.
Did you hear about that? It sounds like the Walking Dead spinoff is kind of slowing down. I think they're rethinking it. Hopefully that they said it could be a prequel, or they just can't come up with a good idea of why they should do another series like that. And they say that they don't want to diminish their mothership of 605 on the TBS superstation, but. So, I don't know. They're supposed to be on there in 2015, but I don't know. We'll see if they'll actually go through with it or not.
Yeah. Not a whole lot of, like, other news over the last little bit. I mean, did you get a chance to see the new Paranormal Activity movie, Steve?
No.
I heard a lot of people shitting on that one.
I decided not to to go to that one.
And they also have From Dusk Till Dawn, the TV show.
Yeah, have you seen the pictures?
I have. I've looked at a little bit of it. But I've got to be honest. I don't know. Unless they're... I don't know what the El Rey Network is. But unless that's going to be something where they're going to reintroduce everything... I don't think the From Dusk Till Dawn name really means much.
Well, I mean, of course, when I heard about Robert Rodriguez starting up his own kind of channel, I was like, great. But, I mean, it sounds like it's available on DirecTV, but, you know, it's not available in my area. Right now, they're only showing, like, they're showing some music and some kind of, I don't know, just some really weird stuff.
Some kind of
they're going to have some wrestling on there. AAA is going to have their own show on there. And
you know what they should do?
So I'm pretty interested in I want to see some of this.
Yeah, I mean, I've noticed more and more, and I talked about this a little bit when we did our WrestleManiacs video. They should go towards, like, doing, like, a Roku channel or something like that. Something, you know, not even just a Roku, but, you know, you can put it on your PlayStation, put it on your Xbox, and load up the channel that way. And hell, I mean, if you want to, put commercials in there and stuff to help you pay for it. But
I don't know. I mean, it's got big money around it because I think Comcast owns 40 or more percent of it. So I mean, right. It's not like it's got like no shortage of money. I did see where they're going to put start showing X-Files on there in February.
But is it one of those deals where does Comcast kind of own DirecTV, or what's the deal?
I'm not sure if Comcast owns. I mean, Comcast, you know, I think Comcast is part of Universal, I think. So, but I mean, I don't know, but it's not, you know, Time Warner's got a little bit piece of it too, so I was thinking for sure that they would be on our channels, but it's not on there yet. It doesn't really seem like they have a lot of programming at the moment. They may have launched, but they're not really showing a whole lot of different programs. So I think later, you know, as more as they get a little bit more programming, they might go out a little bit further into other cable systems. So I'm hoping to see some. If not, I'll have to kind of find it on the internet.
So, with that, I think we're going to take a break, and we've got a couple more topics to get to. We're going to talk about some of the DVD and Blu-ray releases, and then we're going to be taking your phone calls. So we will be back after this quick break here on
DidBit.com.
You know what, Uncle Bill?
Shut your fucking mouth right now.
No. I want to talk about Fast Custom Shirts.
Holy shit. Well, let's talk about it.
FastCustomShirts.com provides some of the best horror t-shirts I have ever fucking seen.
I don't think that you can really fully appreciate how awesome the t-shirts are over at FastCustomShirts.com until you go over to FastCustomShirts.com and look for yourself.
Yeah. The Hitman T-Shirt Joe.
Mm-hmm.
The highest quality of shirts that I've actually designed some of them, Uncle Bill. He actually lets the fans design some of the shirts for his site. Who else does that? Who else?
Nobody I know of. But when he's not busy playing with Carmen Opposy, he's busy cranking out some of the most high-quality fucking shirts that you're going to find this side of any other damn whore t-shirt maker.
Yeah. So check them out. FastCustomShirts.com. The best there is.
The best there was.
And the best there ever will be.
It's a boot respect.
Welcome back, folks, to Dead Pit Radio. Creepy Kentucky in here with the B-Plan. There's a couple of conventions I guess we could talk about that's upon us. The first one is kind of an old favorite of ours, I guess, Horror Hound Weekend, which is coming up in March in Cincinnati. And they're doing like a big, which I'm sure you, I don't know if Dana has mentioned it yet, but I'm sure she'd probably want to go because they're doing a huge Evil Dead reunion from the first couple of films at least. So.
Oh yeah, she's her. You know who her big man is? Ted Raimi.
Right. She never met Ted Raimi before.
No, she actually went up to I believe Milwaukee or someplace on a bus to meet him, and he canceled.
Milwaukee. Holy shit.
Something like that. So she's been wanting to meet him forever. So
that's hardcore right there. Yeah, you'll definitely have to go then.
She had Ted Raimi pictures in her bedroom. Thank God those didn't come down.
Yeah, she probably pleasured herself to Ted Raimi on numerous occasions.
Well, that's okay. Who hasn't?
So, also though, you were mentioning another show that's in Louisville. Do you want to talk about that a little bit? Because I don't know anything about that one.
It's Wizard World, so you know, I've heard of them. They're putting on a Louisville Comic Con at the Louisville International Convention Center, March 28th through the 30th. Let's see who's. I know CM Punk's going to be there. Looks like Michael Rooker, Sean Astin, Napoleon Dynamite guy, John Hedner.
That's funny.
Yeah, Robert Hayes from the Airplane movie, Dean Cain, everybody's favorite Power Ranger, John David Frank, Walking Dead people, Herschel, and then Shane, and that little fucking kid, I think.
Now that's turned me off the show right there.
Yeah,
you're gonna have those fucking idiot fans, you know. And I hate to be mean, but it's true. They're going to fucking, they're like fucking litter.
Like okay, get ready for it. Get ready for it.
No.
Boondock Saints.
Yeah, fuck it.
Norman Reedus. It's,
I'm already over that show now. You told me that. Dude, like, the thing is, this shit, I just can't wait for The Walking Dead. And it's not, like, I don't know anything about the show. I don't really watch the show. But just the fact that it's so popular and their fans are fucking retards. That just run around, like, get in the way That just ruined conventions for me, man.
It's CM Punk.
I don't care. Whenever you said the Boondock Saints and fucking, Scott Wilson and all them fucking guys. Let me tell you something, motherfucker. The best thing Scott Wilson ever did was Young Guns 2.
Who's Scott Wilson?
Or was his name Scott Wilson? The Santa Claus guy.
Huh?
Didn't you say he was going to be there from The Walking Dead?
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry, Scott Wilson. I didn't remember the name, but yes.
Brain fart time.
No, I just didn't know his real name, to be honest. I know his face, of course. He's been in a lot of shit.
Santa Claus.
Yeah, he kind of looks like Santa
Claus.
Best
movie ever did, Young Guns 2, motherfucker. I was watching it the other night on HDX. Voodoo.
It's on there on HDX?
It is. You actually owe me for it because I know that was one you wanted.
I didn't.
Yeah, what? You did. Yeah, yeah.
I owe you? I got you a Christmas gift.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I haven't opened it yet, by the way.
I haven't opened mine either from you.
Well, we'll have to do a live video of that sometime whenever we do decide to open them.
Well, whenever it shows up.
The releases, though, there's not many, like, as far as DVD and Blu-ray releases. A lot of shit that I've never heard of, like Baffled with Leonard Nimoy.
Yes, yes.
That comes
I got that coming. I ordered that.
You're a nerd.
No, I got the Australian day bill of that. And that's a TV movie over here back in the 70s, and it was released theatrical. So it's an awesome movie.
Bad Milo. I don't know what that is. I've heard of that, though.
I've seen
Zombie Pirates. Arr! The Ultimate Showdown, folks. Ginger Dead Man versus Evil Bong.
That's going to be good, dude. Who do you think's going to win?
I got my money on Ginger Dead Man.
You know who I think's going to win?
Who?
No one.
Probably
the people who watch that are probably going to get high and not realize what the hell's going on.
Never seen any of the Ginger Dead Man movies, but I did, unfortunately, watch Evil Bong.
I have not seen any of the franchise. I'm waiting for a box set to come out of the Gingerbread Man, Ginger Dead Man, rather.
And they also have Never Sleep Again, the Blu-ray edition coming out from 1428 Films. So if anybody needs that that hasn't got it, you can probably get it on Blu-ray. But anybody that's already, like, has that, honestly, like, it's a documentary. Like, I'm not it doesn't give me a hard-on to watch a documentary in HD.
No. You know,
it is what it is. But I guess they wanted to make it.
If it's a nature show or something, or.
Yeah. I mean, it might look pretty, but I mean, you're really looking at fucking, I hate to be mean, but come on, Tuesday night in HD, that's scary right there. I mean, you want to scare somebody.
We can see the actual scars.
Yeah, probably. You can see, like, the froth coming from her mouth because she can't close her lips. That's weird because she was a pretty good-looking girl at one time, but I don't know what the fuck happened other than the fact
that these chicks that get old and they see a wrinkle and they go, I'm going to go get it fixed. And next thing you know, they fucking look like got duck lips and
right.
Their head's like two times bigger.
I don't know. Anyway, I guess that's it for the news, Steve, unless you got anything else.
No, I'm just looking over the old Whorehound Weekend show, so looks, and it's got a bunch of the same people from Walking Dead, but
right, which is why I'm not going.
You're not going to the Whorehound?
No.
Well, I'm gonna go. I gotta go. So.
Yeah, I'm not going. Matter of fact, I don't know if I'll go to one show this year.
I mean, this is probably going to be it for a while. I don't even know. Like you, I don't know what else. What else?
You know, I mean, it's got
be interesting in
like. This year will make 10 years where we went to a convention at least once every fucking year. And most of the time we went five or six a year.
Oh, yeah. Well, the last year slowed down significantly. I mean, I just can't. Yeah,
we went to two last year.
Can't go.
That was as many as I went to. Just two. But they were back-to-back weekends, oddly enough.
Back-to-back?
Yeah.
Yes,
anyway.
They were.
Yeah, I hope everybody has fun at these shows and stuff. And I understand. I mean, they are fun, but at the same time, I've met all these people. I've gotten all these autographs. And I just don't like the Walking Dead fans. So I don't want to put up with it, you know.
Well, it's a couple hours won't kill us. Something tells me that maybe Ted Raimi won't have a big line. But, I mean, of course, there's chances he could cancel and then I get out of it, so.
No, but what would be worse is if he canceled last minute.
Yeah, I know.
Like, that would suck.
I tell Dana, I said, hey, we go in, he's got a big sign that says he cancels. I say, let's go fucking drive around. Or
let's go to the zoo.
Yeah, something. I'm not going to. I mean, it's.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, like, there's a lot more things you can do that costs, like, a fraction of what you're going to spend, and you'll have just as much fun.
Right.
Like, fuck the Halloween party that we had, man. That was more fun than any fucking horror convention I've been to in 3 or 4 years.
Well, about the aftermath.
Well, maybe not the aftermath, but I'm just saying.
During the time, it was like, you know, craziness ensues. Yeah. I mean, I powerbombed Aaron.
Yeah, then,
Bill.
Then I shit on him.
Yeah, I mean, we all had our liberty, took liberties with him, so.
Yeah, so.
My dog was kind of traumatized by all the craziness.
She was, yeah, your dog were, like, she pissed everywhere, too, so that should tell you something.
No, we don't think she peed. We think she licked. She licks a lot, so we think she licked.
Dude, she had to do a lot of fucking licking.
Well, I don't know. It didn't smell, so I think it was, she licked.
So anyway, whatever, buddy.
I want everybody to hear this.
So, anyway, we're going to take a break, then we're going to open up the phone lines and, talk horror. Like, I'm sure there'll be a lot of people, you know, asking about our thoughts on Brad Fuller and all that bullshit, but, yeah, we'll just have to wait and see. So, we will be back after this break here on Dead Pit.
That. Come.
Howdy folks, it's Creepy Kentuckian here. Have you ever seen those ultraviolet or voodoo codes included with the newest DVD or Blu-ray releases? If you're not using them, I can. You can send them to me via email at wesvance@gmail.com. That's wesvance@gmail.com. Or you can just send me a private message on Facebook. If you want to send me an image or type out the code, either one will work and I would greatly appreciate it. With thousands upon thousands of physical copies in my collection, I simply don't have the space to buy movies anymore. So with the help of you guys, I can see the latest releases without having them take up room at Dead Pit headquarters. I will accept any movie and any voodoo credit you have, you can email my way. Once again, that's wesvance@gmail.com, wesvance@gmail.com, or on Facebook, private message me. Thanks, guys, and enjoy the rest of the show.
Welcome back to Dead Pit Radio. Let's go to the phones!
Phone line. Oh, yeah, let's answer it. Hello, you're on Dead Pit Radio with the Creepy Kentuckian and the B-Plan. Who's this?
Hello, boys. It's Trey Smith from North Carolina.
No. Hello. Yeah, we're going to play some Petey Pablo for you, man. What's going on?
not much. Calling in to talk about this new Friday the 13th.
Yeah, I mean, we mentioned it a little bit earlier. I mean, do you think, I don't know, it sounds like to me that he doesn't really know for sure what's going to happen, but that's something that that they brought up, maybe doing, some jackass in the studio is probably like, we could do a Friday the 13th film, but without Jason, how would that be?
Yeah, if they want to look at the financials for that, I think all they got to do is pull up the original theatrical numbers for Halloween 3 to see how that's going to do.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's one of those things that could be a colossal disaster if they did it. I mean, I personally don't think they're going to do that, because you've already got a series, of 11 or so films that feature Jason. Everybody knows, Friday the 13th is Jason, and you can't just reinvent the wheel entirely. I mean, you could maybe change the way Jason looks, which would probably be even worse, but at least Jason would be in it. I really don't put much into this. I don't see it happening. I think that they will do the found footage thing, though.
I agree, and I think the fact that they have already announced a release date of spring of 2015 means whatever they're going to do, they're going to have to do it fast. And unfortunately, I think that makes it more likely that it's going to be bad.
Yeah, that's true. Although, I don't know, back in the day, when they did Friday the 13th films, they did them quick. So who knows?
Well, I think they're missing a marketing opportunity here. You have to get a little creative with what you count. You have to count Freddy versus Jason, but if you look at all the Friday the 13th movies and include that one, you could really call this one Friday the 13th Part 13. And I think that would give them sort of a unique standout in the marketplace. If they had rights to the older films, I could see them doing a trailer for it where they counted the 13 and intercut kills from all the movies, but I'm not sure if they're creative enough to do that.
Yeah, I couldn't see them doing that, really. I mean, a lot of the times anymore with sequels, very rarely do they even put, a number at the end of a sequel anymore. So,
yep.
Regardless of what it is. And I think what they're going to do is it's just going to be simply called Friday the 13th again.
Yeah, unfortunately, so. I agree with you. But I just think that Nightmare on Elm Street remake, the only remake that I can think of that was the best word that I can come up with to describe that remake is pointless. And the only remake I can remember that I thought was just as pointless as that, everybody's kind of forgotten about it because it was so long ago, but that Psycho remake with Vince Vaughn, that shot-for-shot remake, there's just no reason to even do it.
Yeah, I totally agree there. I mean, like you were saying, it's just there's no reason, because you can clearly tell when you watch a movie like Nightmare on Elm Street, from 2010 or whatever year it came out with, they made that just to cash in on that name. That's the only reason that thing was made, because there's nothing, there was nothing at all creative or inventive, changing around a little bit. Nothing was, there was nothing to it. It was just horrible. It was a waste of fucking
film. Why would you, I mean, I think Gus Van Sant did that. Who thought that was a good idea to do a shot for shot remake of anything? That's just like me taking a book and copying word from word. It just, doesn't make sense.
I agree, and I think Nightmare on Elm Street, I think now, is the only one of the major slasher series that really, I think that remake just completely killed the commercial potential of the series. I mean, if Robert Englund wanted to come back and do something, then I could make some money, but he's gotten to the age now where I think he's done, and it's really unfortunate. I'm a huge fan of the Friday the 13th movies. I'm a little older than you guys, so I was in high school around the time 4, 5, and 6 were coming out, so I saw most of the entries in the theater, and I'm going to go no matter what they do. I've got to go and check it out, but the people that are attached to it right now, I'm just not very hopeful.
Not me either. But, dude, we appreciate you calling. It's always good hearing from you, and yeah, definitely. Hopefully we can do some of these call-ins again more often. I know it's always kind of a last-minute thing when we get to do them, but, yeah, I definitely hope you can call again soon.
No problem, fellas. Have a good night.
All right, buddy. Take care. Hello, you are on Dead Pit Radio with the Creepy Kentuckian and the B-Plan. Who's this?
The B-Plan? Oh, shit. All right, wrong number, guys. Wrong number.
Uh-oh.
I don't like this guy already.
Hey, this is T-Shirt Joe from Corpus Christi, Texas.
It's a legendary Pacifico Joe. What's going on, dude?
Oh, not much. How's it going, guys?
Pretty good.
Yeah. Doing pretty good. You would be, I don't know if you'd be happy or not, because I'm drinking some moonshine, but it's weak as fuck. It's like this apple pie moonshine, and it's almost like drinking like Bartles and James or something. It's the weakest shit, like, ever.
Well, I don't know, man. You're going to have to wait and see, because I've had some shit like that, and you think, oh, man, this ain't nothing. Then later on, you're just like, wake up naked on the floor.
Well, I'm drinking it basically because I got a little bit of itch in my throat and it's keeping me from fucking coughing up a lung, but you might be right. I don't know. I'm at least really warm right now. I'll say that. I don't know if...
Well, there you go. You guys are about to get another, like, crazy freeze or something coming your way, or what?
It's kind of cool right now. I think it's like 17, 18 degrees here right now. So.
Yeah, I was talking to a friend of mine lives out there, and like, I can't even imagine that, you know, in 17 degrees, but then again, we get like 120, 130 summers down here, so it's a, you know, it's a dichotomy of the heat and the cold.
Yeah, I couldn't imagine 120 degrees, but like, for us, last week, it got -4 one night, and I walked out, because I'd never... Honestly, I mean, it gets cold sometimes, but I never remember it being that cold before. You know, I think I heard like 84, 85 was the last time it got that cold, and I couldn't fucking remember back then. But yeah, I mean, you would step out in it, and I just wanted to experience, like, what does this feel like, you know, negative weather. And holy shit, man, it's almost like as soon as you step out, your skin starts to freeze a little bit. It's...
Wow.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Hey, well, I just want to say, hey, Steve, Dana cleaned the shit out of that refrigerator, man. That looks amazing.
Okay, yes,
please,
it was.
Just have her please post more pictures of that, or how she makes up the bed, or things like that. Because, well, like, I'm fascinated by that, by the way she cares for the house.
Yeah.
Oh, all right. Well, I can definitely have her do more. She'll be off tomorrow, so I'll have her. I'll make a mess so she has to clean it up.
Well, she
could take pictures of, like, the baseboards, because I'm really interested in how you clean those.
Well, she cooks quite a bit, too, posts a lot of photos of, maybe she should start, like, her own cooking, like, channel on Facebook or YouTube or something.
I'll get on her to do a cooking podcast.
There you go.
Holla. Sounds good.
So,
yeah, but, I guess since this is a horror show, I should talk about something horror, but honestly, there's nothing really that I've seen or, you know, followed that really fucking interests me. I know a lot of people are into American Horror Story. I think that kind of sucks. I gave the first season of Dexter a try. I didn't really care for that. A lot of the movies that people are just fucking up in arms and, you know, yelling about it, I think we're terrible. I really like the Maniac remake. I know Jason Cheeseburger doesn't really like that one, but
yeah, I mean, with the Maniac remake, like, I, you know, for what it was, he tried something a little different with it. It's like a kind of an artsy, you know, I don't know what the point of really was the first person was.
Yeah,
but yeah, I mean, it was. It was okay. I mean, I enjoyed it for what it was. I just watched it on Netflix a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, that's what, you know, I've been trying to watch stuff here and there on Netflix, and, you know, the thing is, there's just so much out there now. It's like anybody can make a movie, and unfortunately, not everybody can make a movie. You know, there's a difference between the two. You know, having the ability to do it and having the real talent to do it is a big, big fucking difference.
There's one that I'm not sure if it's on Netflix, but I got it from Redbox, called, I don't know if Steve may have seen it, it's called Would You Rather.
I'm going to watch it this weekend.
Yeah, I was kind of impressed with that. I think it came out this year, or last year, in 2013. Kind of, I know it has Jeffrey Combs starring in it, so a lot of people watch it just based on that, but it is one of the better movies that I've seen him in lately. He's in a lot of low-budget stuff, but that was pretty good. Got a lot of really good gore scenes in it and stuff.
Well, let me ask you guys something else unrelated to that. It's just the horror convention scenes. Are you guys going to be traveling or going anywhere?
I know Steve was saying he was thinking about going to the Horror Hound show in Cincinnati. Man, honestly, like, this is the first year where I'm kind of wanting to just stay away.
Mm-hmm.
I've been burnt out for a couple years, really, and I only went to like two last year. And at Scarefest, you know, Jeff isn't a part of Scarefest this year. And, that was the one that I was looking at going to, just cause it's a fun show and it's well ran and stuff like that. But without him
Scarefest,
there.
Scarefest, yeah, definitely one of the best organized shows, that I've been to. But a big part of me going there was always Jeff.
You know, right.
Jeff would get me on the phone. He would call me personally and tell me, hey, we really want you here. And, you know, I doubt I'm going to get that kind of attention without him there. So I don't know that I'll do it, you know. That was a big, big reason for me going.
Yeah, I mean, we're definitely the same way. And I really think that show is going to become more of the paranormal style show, you know. They're going to go away from the horror aspect too, so.
You know, and I understand that from a business aspect, because I don't know any of those paranormal people, but they always had fucking long lines, you know, just going out the door, and it's like, who are these people that they're getting this kind of attraction? But they were.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, they draw people. I can definitely understand why they do it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'd prefer them to do that, go that route versus going the Fright Night route, which is a bunch of, you know, douchebags.
Yeah, well, Fright Night, I mean, I quit doing that show a few years back because, just for different reasons. There was that time that a bunch of the vendors were thrown off in the pool room, which was a fucking sauna. I don't know if you guys ever walked through that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I remember. That room was back there.
You stepped in, you were just fucking sweating. And, man, I would have raised all kinds of hell had I been stuck in that room.
Oh, yeah, me too.
But, no, I figured, you know, I very easily could have, so I'm not. I'm not doing that show again, you know. But, I don't know, people will continue to, and it's become more of a, I guess, a sci-fi show, right?
Yeah, Comic-Con pop culture.
Yeah, pop culture.
Yeah, a Comic-Con type show. And, you know, that's okay. People flock to that, and it makes money for them. But I don't really do well, and I don't really enjoy myself as much at those shows. You know, it's not like a festive attitude. It's not like a big party. And that's what I like. You know, I don't have to go to these shows to make money, but I do want to go and have fun.
What's interesting, though, now that you mention that, because Steve was talking about Wizard World's actually coming to Louisville now.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering how that'll work with the Fandom Fest, which, they, like you were saying, they put on kind of the same show.
Yeah. And it
sounds like pretty much the same show to me, except they'll have a lot more comic book artists.
Well, that's what Wizard World does. They go to a city and they find a place that's, that has a show, an established show that's doing well. And they go and put on their own show there just to kind of fuck them over. They try to monopolize the market. So I'm not big on Wizard World either.
Mm.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, like, as far as straight-up horror conventions go, like, the only thing in this area it would be the Horror Hound shows.
Well, you know, and the Days of the Dead's pretty good, too.
Yeah, Days of the Dead's a little further, but, you know.
Yeah, they do a show in Cincinnati and in Indianapolis, so they kind of go following Horror Hound's lead.
Yeah, I'm looking at going to Mad Monster Party in North Carolina, just because I've never been to that area of the U.S. And also, I do a lot of shirts for the guys up there for the Mutantville, those dudes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Jamie Roberts.
There you go. Yeah, so I may make that trip, and of course, the one I always tell you guys to come to is Texas Frightmare Weekend, because that still is a big horror show, and it's a big party, too.
Yeah, I mean, at one point in time, you guys had a few shows in Texas, but I guess that's like the only big one, like straight up horror show left.
Yeah, it's the one that stood the test of time. I mean, now, of course, there's a bunch of, like we said, the Wizard World has popped up in all the big cities. And, man, I'm surprised they're not in Dallas yet trying to compete with Texas Frightmare Weekend. But Texas Frightmare Weekend has, like, a loyal following. I don't think it would hurt them any. But, no, as far as horror goes, no, nothing has really popped up and stayed. It's a weird market, and we talked about that before, how so many of them were popping up, and we were just going to see a decline in it, and that's what's happened.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, there's only so much you can do, too, really, with the horror genre thing, and I think that that's going to be, and that's something that, honestly, as far as the guests and stuff go, that Horror Hound, they've done a good job so far, but I think that that's going to be tougher and tougher for them as the years go on, you know, doing two shows a year to make each show something different, something special.
Yeah. Yeah, it will. I mean, I know what they've got, like the Evil Dead 2 cast this year.
Right.
And that's pretty cool. I think that show takes place at the same time that the one I'm looking at in North Carolina takes place. But, you know, with so many of them popping up, people also look at the, like, hey, how far do I have to travel? Okay, right. If I have to go over here, but there's this other show that's, I don't know, 2 hours closer to me, I might as well go to this one. I mean, that's become a factor, too.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, because these things cost so much money to attend anyway, I mean.
They do.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy.
They do. I mean, one of the things you guys said from the beginning, you know, advice to people going to a show for the first time, take money.
Yeah, take a lot of money.
Yeah, because that's all it is. It's spending money. It's like going to a theme park or something. You know, it's fun. It's a good time. But, yeah, it's just once you're in the business aspect of it, you see the business aspect of it, and it becomes not so much fun.
I agree. And, you know, over the years, things have changed so much, too, you know, where they're nickel and diming you to death, and we've talked about it, you know, on the show before, but you have to take more and more money each year. You know, pretty soon they'll be, you know, charging you $5 to make eye contact or something.
Well, there was one I did in Houston. It was $25 to park, even for the vendors.
Wow.
I was like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah, you know, that's bullshit.
Like, and I imagine people that came, you know, just for the whole weekend, on top of, you know, their autographs, their tickets, and all that, they're shelling out another $75 just to park. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, that's bullshit right there.
But anyway, guys, I know you got a lot of calls coming in, so I'm gonna let you go. I was just glad to talk to you guys again. Plan, you're doing good. You know, you're better than that old Uncle Bill. Where the fuck's that guy?
He had a family emergency.
Yeah. Every weekend, right? Or every week the show's on, he's got a family emergency?
Yeah, pretty much. That's what we say, at least.
I think he got lost
in
the woods.
We're all tired of his shit.
He got lost in the woods on the Wes's house.
His canoe got stuck.
He ran to the little creek up there.
Yeah. All right, buddy, you take care. And hopefully, if we come to a show this year, we'll see you.
All right, guys. You take care.
All right, buddy.
See you.
Bye. Got a lot of calls coming in. Steve, you ready?
Go for it.
Hello, you're on Dead Pit Radio with the Creepy Kentuckian and the B-Plan. What's going on?
Going on, boys? It's your good buddy John Grande.
Uh-oh.
Oh.
What's going on, Mr. Grande?
nothing much. You know, a lot of school, a lot of work, a lot of shit, you know, just to sum it all up. But
that's life.
No, I figure it's one of this particular Master of Horror's birthday today, and I wanted to talk about some of your favorite John Carpenter flicks.
That's a good idea. Pretty much, like, Carpenter had, like, 4 or 5 years there where he could do no wrong, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that's like classic Carpenter. That's what I call that era. You know, you got Assault on Precinct 13, Halloween, The Fog, The Thing, They Live, Prince of Darkness. Kind of ends with Prince of Darkness, but he has a couple other good movies afterwards.
Yeah, I think some of them are actually pretty good afterwards. One that, you know, I was surprised when I heard your guys' interview with him that he said he wasn't, you know, he didn't really give two craps about was Christine, and I love that movie. I've loved it for years.
Yeah, I think with Christine, though, it was one of those films where he was kind of just a director for hire, and I don't think he wrote, like, any of the script or anything. It didn't have, I think he did the soundtrack to that, but didn't have a whole lot of involvement like he does on a lot of his other films, and it was kind of just a payday for him. But I think he did a great job with Christine, too. That's one of my that's probably one of the first Carpenter movies I remember seeing as a real young kid. So I've always enjoyed that movie.
Yeah, I my favorite Carpenter movie is They Live, and I just got the, you know, Scream Factory Blu-ray of it, and
oh
my God, it looks amazing. And also rewatching that movie too, it's just, I don't know, I like that movie more than any Carpenter movie just for the fact that it's fun, it knows what it wants to be, and it's, I don't know, I really like Roddy Piper and Keith David. I like the ensemble cast they got, and I don't know, I just think that movie flows together really well.
Yeah, that Blu-ray, though, like you were saying, I remember I was at Uncle Bill's house. You remember Uncle Bill? And we watched the new, I guess this was last year or whatever, earlier this year. I can't remember when that came out, but we were watching that Blu-ray, and I was like, holy shit, because that was one of those films where I liked the film and everything, but for some reason I just didn't think it would pop on Blu-ray. You know, it was one of those movies where I'm like, yeah, it'll probably look okay. But no,
exactly.
Holy shit. I mean, I still think that, you know, that's one of the top two or three transfers that they've done so far.
Yeah.
You know, on Blu-ray.
What are some of your favorites, Steve?
The Thing, I think one that, Prince of Darkness is probably going to be one that I really revisit a lot. I actually had the Blu-ray, had it for quite a while, and haven't actually watched it yet, so I'm going to have to watch that this weekend.
That
one
looks great on Blu-ray, too.
Yeah, so, I mean, I think Prince of Darkness is the one that I always go back to.
Prince of Darkness has kind of like a European look to it, I've always thought, or feel.
Yeah, like, you know, some of the color schemes and stuff like that, kind of Argento-esque.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's completely like I don't know, it's like Carpenter's attempt at a giallo film. I don't know if it's, you know, a giallo film, but it's definitely, of all his films, it has just a weird feeling, like a feeling that none of his other movies have. It's an awesome movie, and I actually really want to get that, but, man, those Scream Factory Blu-rays are just too damn expensive. Like,
I hear you.
You know, I get one about a month, you know, I can't, you know,
yeah.
It's just expensive.
And it seems like they come out with about four or five a month.
So, think like,
you know, one of the five kind of thing.
Yeah.
You gotta do like, I know Wes is saying you gotta wait for those sales.
I've never seen it hang under $20 for one of their Blu-rays.
You have to wait like, I know every Halloween, which I don't know if you want to wait that long, but they have like a month long sale of all their stuff. And it, even then it's like $17, you know, like $16-$17. Not like that big of a sale. But at least it drops it under 20, you know, for you.
Yeah, exactly. What other Scream Factory releases did you guys like? I personally thought The Burning looked really, really good. You know, Night of the Comet was a really big one for me. And I don't know if I think the transfer is pretty solid. A lot of people, some of my friends were kind of shitting on it, but I thought it was pretty awesome. And I don't know, I've always really been a big fan of Night of the Comet. It's so nostalgic.
I think the one of the ones that this year that stood out, of course, it's got a lot, is the Vincent Price set. I think that has some solid entries, and they all look really, really good.
One that I was happy that they released was Body Bags, because it kind of came out of left field. You know, that's kind of, I mean, really, compared to most of their stuff, that's one of the more obscure movies. You know, not a whole lot of people even have seen that movie before, because the DVD was so goddamn hard to find, and then the it's rarely ever on TV. I think it might have been on Sci-Fi Channel a few times a few years ago.
Well, it was originally a Showtime movie.
Right. But, I mean, it's one of those films that I don't think a lot of people knew about, and I'm glad to see that get a wide release and, you know, get proper treatment. I think that's a damn good anthology film.
Yeah, and most of the stuff they released, I think, makes sense. You know, like, there's a lot of people who mark out for The Burning. I think it's a decent slasher film. I'm not, like, a mark for the film, but, you know, people are like, oh, it has to be on Blu-ray, it has to be on Blu-ray. But there's also someone that they came out with, like, Prison. Like, why is that on Blu-ray? Did we need
Did we need
that on Blu-ray? Did anybody really want that? Like, come on. Like, it's so stupid.
Yeah, Prison's, that surprised me, though, as far as choices go. That wouldn't be one of the, you know, one that I would love to see him grab, because I get a lot of MGM stuff. Pumpkinhead. Like, I think that would be a good one for him to do a special edition of.
Yeah, I haven't heard anybody say that one. I've always been a big mark for the Sleepaway Camp 2 and 3, the sequels. I know the original's coming out, but I don't know. I would love to see those other two movies. And the thing is, another thing, like, I can kind of understand, too, those movies were shot, it looked like with a camcorder, like a really shitty camcorder. It's just, they're so low quality, and I don't know. I don't know how they look on Blu-ray. Probably not too good.
Yeah, I don't know either. I know that they were kind of... If they had any type of theatrical release, at least the second one may have been a really limited release. But, yeah, I mean, I'm like you. I don't know how good that would look. And also the Slumber Party Massacre movies, that they're going to release the first one of those. I don't know how well that would look on Blu-ray either, because that was really low budget when that came out.
Yeah. Have they come out with I know Scream Factory hasn't, but is there a Body Bags Blu-ray out? No, not Body Bags. Student Bodies, is that one out on Blu-ray?
I don't think so, no.
No, I don't think so.
That'd be one I'd like to see on Blu-ray.
Yeah, I'd be surprised, but you never know. I mean, we got Prison on Blu-ray, so anything's possible. I'd love to see Scream Factory do Mad Men, but I don't think that'll happen.
Yeah, Final Exam came out. It's coming out for them. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, Final Exam.
That's horrible.
Yeah, not a quality film, but, you know, whatever Scream Factory releases, I'll collect it, because, you know, it's kind of like, you know, the way with the slip cases and stuff like that, it's like, you know, collecting baseball cards or something. You want to kind of have them all, but they're so daggone high, though. I mean, I agree with you.
Yeah, exactly. It's ridiculous, and you know, they really do make you want it, like, they put the time and effort and with all the special features and all this stuff, and they really do make you want it, but I'm sorry, $21.95 for, you know, a Blu-ray is just a little ridiculous to me. I mean, you know, can you give me a 2 for $25 or 2 for $30 or something like that, like a deal or something?
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like they benefit from that a lot more.
Yeah, I hear you. But, John, man, I appreciate you calling. You got some interesting things to talk about for sure. And whenever we do these again, definitely try to call back.
Will do, broski. Have a good night.
All right, you too, man. Take care.
You too.
We're running low on time, Steve. Do you want to take one more phone call, or do you want to end it?
One more for the road.
One more phone call for the road. Now nobody will call.
Yeah.
That's usually how it works. But had some great discussions tonight. We had a good call-in portion thus far. Whoever ends it, we will see how they end it, but I may have spoke too soon. We'll see.
Yeah.
Shit. My voice is starting to go, too, so. We'll give it one more minute. If we don't have another phone call, then fuckins.
60 seconds.
60 seconds.
Of silence.
That's right. We're 1 minute from 8:30.
There's a lot of good gore going on the American Horror Story this week.
Joe said he didn't like American Horror Story, buddy.
Well, I've been watching it. I must say this is a strange season, but they got an axe to the throat and like this blood just, I mean, it's way over the top how much blood was coming out.
We got a call, Steve. You answer it.
Hello, this is Dead Pit Radio with Creepy Kentuckian and the B-Plan. Who we have on the line?
Hey guys, guess who?
I'm not sure.
It's Cody.
Hey.
Oh, hell.
Hey, Cody. What's going on? Long time no hear. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing pretty good.
What do you want to talk about this evening?
Well, I guess I'll talk about what I've been watching lately. I got that, Chucky Blu-ray set.
Right, that has all the Chucky films.
Yeah. I got that recently, and I've been, going through them. Hadn't seen those movies in a long time, so figured I'd check them out again.
How does the Blu-rays look?
Well, the first movie looked great. It looked really good.
Right, but that was already out on Blu-ray before.
Yeah.
What about the sequels? Are they not as good? I mean, I know they've got Bride of Chucky is on Netflix and looks really good on there.
Well, believe it or not, to me anyway, the original one looks the best out of all of them.
Even the new one?
Well, I haven't seen Curse of Chucky yet.
Oh, you need to watch that. That's a good movie. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Like I said, the other movies, the sequels, really enough, don't look quite as good as the first one. Like, 2 and 3, they look okay, but not as good. And really enough, I have a big complaint about the menus for those two.
Uh-huh.
Because, those Blu-rays, you put it in, and it's one of those things where the movie, starts right away. It doesn't go to a menu, it just starts right away. And then, after the movie's over, it starts playing again on a loop, and then the menu pops up.
They have more than one movie per Blu-ray, or each movie has its own Blu-ray?
Each one has its own Blu-ray.
Ah, well, at least that's better than some releases.
Yeah, I thought that was, when I saw that, I was like, well, that's kind of lazy.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, a lot of those releases, though, especially the ones that are, if it's a series like that, and it, Child's Play 2 and 3 and all those were exclusives, they're going to go the cheap route with it, really. I mean, which is unfortunate, but, I mean, that's the only way you can get them in high def if you want them, so.
Yeah, it also sucks that not only did they do that, but I also was kind of disappointed they didn't do anything with them.
Well, I think they know which ones are the high points in the series, and and then didn't bother to do anything special with 2 and 3, especially.
Well, that sucks for me, because I would actually like to know about the making of those two movies, because I don't know, because everything about the first one, and of course Bride and Seed, of course, have right. A lot of features, but I was always disappointed that those two never got any special treatment.
Well, I think it's one of those deals where maybe at some point we'll see like a, some sort of feature length documentary on the series, which I'm sure, the guys from 1428 Films that did the Elm Street one and, that did the Crystal Lake Memories one, I can see that being something to be interested in doing. So His name is Chucky. There you go. I think you'll definitely see something like that in the future.
Yeah, I was kind of wondering. I was thinking maybe they'll do that, and I was like, oh, maybe Scream Factory will get a hold of those two.
You never know. It's possible. I mean, they've got Universal stuff. They've got MGM stuff, so.
Yeah. By the way, I would like to touch briefly on the whole Friday the 13th matter.
Yeah.
What's going on?
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know about that until I heard the Midweek Obliteration
I mean, I don't keep up with the news or anything. And quite frankly, I think that's my reaction when I heard that is why.
I just think it's one of those deals where you've got all these executives in there and they're trying to come up with something that hasn't been done or something that would revolutionize the Friday the 13th films. And they try so goddamn hard that they just come up with the stupidest fucking idea that possible. You know, that's basically what happened. Honestly, if I was a betting man, which I'm not because I don't have enough money to bet, but I would say that's not going to happen. That's just something that that's probably an idea they've been throwing around, but.
They're probably putting it out there to see what people think and feedback.
Yeah.
And then I think they're going to find out that no one likes this idea. So they may skip it, or it may just say, hey, look at all these movies that are doing the found footage route. They're cheap to make, and, their ratio to budget to profit is a lot more. So you just can't tell.
True that.
I just don't understand why they think a found footage Friday the 13th movie would be the way to go. I just can't see that working, honestly.
Well, they're just going at what's popular right now. You know, you've got the Paranormal Activity movies making that's about like the last horror thing that's really made a whole lot of money aside from like The Conjuring or something.
I think people are starting to get sick of that, though.
I agree. I think that it's kind of run its course already, but. That's Brad Fuller for you. They don't know what the fuck he's doing. They need to get somebody in there that has a clue.
Yeah, if you were involved with
video.
The Nightmare on Elm Street remake, that doesn't say much for you.
Yeah, and the Hitcher remake and Texas Chainsaw remake. I don't know. He hadn't had a whole lot of quality films, in my opinion.
Yeah, well. In any case, you know, whatever comes of the whole Friday the 13th thing, of course, you know, when it comes out, I will see it, you know.
Yeah,
I'm a fan, so I will see it no matter what they do.
Yeah, I think that's what they're kind of banking on, the fans. Like, the hardcore fans are always going to see it, you know, regardless of what they do. They just want to try to make a successful film. They're going to try to get the younger kids that go to the movies every weekend anyway. And that weekend, they're going to be like, hell yeah, let's go see fucking Friday the 13th. That's how they make their money. I mean, the hardcore fans is just even though it's strong compared to a lot of other franchises, it's not going to be making that movie a blockbuster hit. You know, it's the younger kids, so you got to do whatever's hip at the time. You know, if Jason wears skinny jeans, he shops at fucking, the Gap or whatever, you know. They got to do something to identify with those younger audiences, I guess.
Right.
Yeah.
So, but Cody, I appreciate you calling. We're actually going to have to end the call-ins, but I appreciate whenever you call in. Hopefully, we'll be talking to you again soon whenever we do these again.
Yeah, and by the way, I know there are people out there who don't like me a lot, who hate it whenever I call in. All I can say to them right now is, well, suck it.
Sounds good, buddy. All right. You take care and you have a lovely night.
Okay, guys. See ya.
See you.
Bye.
That's right. So we're going to cut to a break now. But that was a good call-in portion, Steve. I've got to say, I've got to put people over. I'm sorry we didn't get to everybody. But we will take phone calls at some point again soon.
Right on.
We're going to take a break. We're almost done, but we're going to get Steve's 2013 picks after this quick break here on Dead Pit.
.com.
He, more hideous than Jack the Ripper. She, bloodier than Bluebeard. No one is safe in That Teenage Psycho Meets Bloody Mary, filmed in sensational Bloody Vision. Movie monsters come alive and go into the audience. You are suddenly surrounded by monsters. You become a party to the horror in The Teenage Psycho Meets Bloody Mary, starring Cash Flagg in bloody color.
Howdy, folks, and welcome back. That was a hell of a call-in portion, wasn't it, Stephen?
It's every time they surprise me, the fans calling in. It's
I know, it's fairly amazing.
It is. I'm just overwhelmed.
I am too. I am too, Stephen. But anyway,
thank you.
Kind of continuation of last week's show. You didn't get to participate. Of course, you had some sort of family emergency or something like that that we don't want to get into.
No, but, we don't want to get into the truth, so.
Yeah, I know, because that might make you look bad. But anyway,
no, it'll make you look bad.
No. Yeah, 2013, the year that was, and what was, I guess you made some list up in preparation last week, so I say, what the hell, let's let Steve have at it this week. So we got a few more minutes left on the show. Give us what's what, Stephen. What was some of your favorites and or least favorites?
All right, some of the lowlights of last year were, to name a few, ABCs of Death. Did you see that? Where they had each director had a letter of the alphabet, and he made a short film.
I have not seen it. I've heard mixed things about it.
Yeah, I mean, that's what it is. It's mixed. I mean, there's like a few, very few that are decent there, and the rest of them are, you know, wildly uneven, and it's like, I don't know, 2 hours or a little over. Now they're making another one. I just think it was horrible. I mean, I wouldn't say it's horrible, but it definitely was a letdown of what they promised.
Aren't they doing a sequel of that?
Yeah. Then you know that not Tiffany Shepis was trying to get her film in. I don't think it won, unfortunately.
Right.
I believe you were talking about this. I Spit on Your Grave 2 was another one that was just a bad idea. Go ahead.
Back to ABC's Death real quick, though. Like, that movie, it doesn't have like 20-some-odd different little short movies in it or something?
Each director had a letter of the alphabet, and they made a short film dealing with death in some way.
Right.
So, I mean, like I say, it was very uneven, and a few of them were just downright stupid, and most of them were just, like, mildly there. I mean, it just wasn't very entertaining. Like I say, and I Spit on Your Grave 2 was – the only thing good I can say, it was kind of reminded me back in the day where, you know, everybody was putting out direct-to-home video movies and sequels to stuff, but – other than that, I really can't recommend that for anybody. Eli Roth's Aftershock, which it plays like a thing of Hostel a little bit, because him and his buddies are out partying in, where the fuck was it? Venezuela or someplace, and an earthquake hits, and it lets out people who have been locked up for a long time and criminally insane or something. It's just it's got some great gore in it, I'll give it that, but other than that, you get to see Eli Roth burn up, which is kind of funny. He burns to death.
Well, that might be good then. Maybe I'll watch it for that.
Carrie, the remake, I mean, I watched it the other day. It's okay, but it just doesn't really need to exist. So this seems like it really doesn't do anything. I can't recommend that. And unfortunately, Argento's Dracula 3D, I haven't watched it again in 3D yet, but, it's really hard to watch. and also one that you seem to like was Mama. I did not care for Mama.
Mama! 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 Mama!
Oh, no, Mama.
I didn't like it. Didn't like the, whatever that punk rock or goth rock chick that she's supposed to be. And why does the kid's father have a twin brother? Why can't they be played by different actors? Are we stupid?
Maybe they couldn't afford different actors.
Like they did in Giallo with Adrian Brody.
You know, but, the thing about Mommy is, like, I mean, I know it had some bad parts in it. It wasn't perfect, but I don't know. I mean, I thought it was definitely an improvement over a lot of the stuff that we've seen over the years. You know, horror.
Well, it's not the it's not the worst one on the list. I mean, or at least, you know, just stuff that I did not find entertaining, and that was kind of one of them. It does have the distinction of being the first movie I watched on Vudu. So beyond that, some of the movies that I thought I liked a lot were, you know, it's based upon what films I saw. The Evil Dead remake was decent. Of course, Dana hates it to death.
Yeah, you know, Dana needs to get over it and watch it again, just enjoy it for what it is. So
another one that she didn't like that I liked was Curse of Chucky. Like everybody says, it was a very lean, mean horror movie. One thing that she did say, and I say, is the soundtrack is just really, really good. It's, you can almost hear some Goblin ripoff music. And I would love to find the soundtrack somewhere, but I don't believe it's out there for sale. Lords of Salem, which I need to watch again. I just think that's it's a very creepy movie, and I want to revisit that really soon. I did like the Maniac remake. I just thought it was, you know, like you were saying last week, that it's not, Maniac is a decent movie. But it's not like, you know, we're not like big super marks for it. Texas Chainsaw, thought that was an entertaining popcorn movie. I mean, it didn't think too hard. And again, that kind of reminded me of the old days where you get the, you know, you go to the video store and you'll find some kind of unknown sequel to a movie that just came out. And you're, you know, hit or miss. And I think you guys, or at least you did, said that this was your favorite movie of last year, and it was mine too, was The Conjuring. Watched it recently and still scared the crap out of me. So, I mean, I think we watched some of the extras that talked about the family members and stuff like that. I mean, I can't recommend that. I think the Blu-ray looks really good. Of course, wish it had more extras, like a full-length documentary about the Warrens or something like that. But, you know, I'm sure that'll come out down the road.
Yeah.
One thing I would recommend as far as home video and DVD releases, there's one movie I know you haven't seen. It's called Adam Chapman, Violent Avenger. This
Never heard
is an
of that.
Italian... It's an Italian movie that came out around 2011, and it's just now hitting region one. It's imagine a horror splatter superhero movie, and that's what this is. It's really off the wall, but the effects are kind of like almost trauma-esque, but they are. It's a pretty cool little movie. You know, it's not dubbed into English. That would help a little bit, but it's got subtitles. I, you know, recommend somebody check, you know, people checking it out. I don't know if it'll ever end up on Netflix or not, but you might see it secondhand or somewhere, so you might want to pick it up if you want to see some crazy action and a lot of blood.
You know, one that a couple people messaged me about that we missed on our list, and I knew there'd be a couple just because there's not really online a definitive list of shit that came out, and that would be Rob Zombie's Lords of Salem.
Yeah, that's what I mentioned.
We didn't mention that one, and we didn't mention You're Next, which I hadn't seen that movie up to that point. So,
did you like that?
I actually haven't. I mean, I was going to mention it. That's what I was saying. No. I mentioned the best or worst, either category. But they're actually having a little reunion at Horror Hound Weekend from that movie too, which is kind of strange.
And they got the guy like with the Wyatt family mask on, the goat mask,
right?
Lamb mask.
See, for a while there, I thought that was a WWE film because they had that mask. I mean, I didn't know, but
well, there was another one that's kind of similar called No One Lives.
Right.
That was a WWE film, which who the fuck was in? Oh yeah, Brodus Clay was in it.
Oh God,
I think he got his throat ripped out or something.
It's a shame he really didn't get it ripped out.
Well, now he's a bad guy, so.
Who cares? Yeah, but I guess that is it for, unless you have anything else you want to mention?
Did you know that Camille Keaton from I Spit on Your Grave was actually in Lords of Salem? But I'm thinking her role got cut like
She was probably like in the Dr. Satan scene in Devil's Rejects or something.
She was in the Frankenstein and the Witch Hunter. She was Winch Girl. So I don't know. But anyway, that's a fun fact for everybody.
I'm sure she was the one that told people.
It's on IMDb, Bowles.
Uh-oh. She might have been like, you know, latest convention appearance, you know, put Lords of Salem in there.
Yeah.
Anyway, that is it for the show. Thanks for everybody calling in, everybody listening. And tune in next week when I have no clue what we're going to do. But just stay tuned. And also check out the WrestleManiacs Facebook page, too. We're starting to do more stuff with that. And we're going to have some live events on YouTube with WrestleManiacs. It's going to be fun. So anybody that...
that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, anybody that hasn't checked that out, just search for, you know, just go to Facebook.com/WrestleManiacsLive, and you will get to experience all that goodness if you're a professional wrestling fan. And if not, hey, fuck you. So anyway, Creepy Kentucky.
Be plan.
And you've been listening to number one rated, often imitated, never duplicated, baller and shock callers of Horror Talk Radio. Dead bitch.
Dead bitch. Oh.
.com.
Creepy. Bitch.
Creepy.
You are.
Oh, shit.